This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Peter Gammons, MLB Network analyst.
Around the pole and gone.
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
And Peter joins us now on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline. Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Zach Zibman, Ron Coomer, Tom Thayer in for Mully and Haw this morning on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Peter, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. What an honor to be on with Ron Coomer this time of the day.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm not really sure how much baseball I'm going to get to see between now and 1st of October, but I'm hopeful. You know, I actually think, and I just don't know medically if I can carry it off. I do say this. I do think it's worth trying. Just to give up and say, we'll never be able to do it, I think it would have been wrong. I think it's good to try. But on the other hand, I mean, it's going to be really hard. I mean, if you've test positive, you're going to miss a third of the season, basically. I don't know where it goes, but I'll say this. If it does work, 60 games, everybody going, I mean, it reminds me of, you know, going to a stock car race and watching all those guys go around those little tracks at like 100 miles an hour, 120 miles an hour. I think it could be really fascinating, and I think it really will be no excuse baseball. Every day is important, and you know, it'll be fun. It's not a real season. I get that. We don't have the great numbers and all those things, but I think at the same time, reading today, as I was on The Athletic, about that there's a whole group of really great players that were down in Florida working out at Eric Cressy's place in Palm Beach and Jupiter. I mean, just showed the idea that players don't want to play, and Ron, you know it better than I do. Baseball players really want to play. I think we have a chance that people can stay reasonably healthy to really have some fun that's unlike anything we've really seen before.
Well, Peter, first of all, thanks for being on with us this morning, but you've seen everything in baseball. You've been around our game forever. You're a Hall of Famer. But when you look at our game right now, first of all, I agree with you. It's in your blood. I always felt this way with baseball players who play a long time in the big leagues and have spent time in the minor leagues. It is in your blood. You are going to be around baseball if you're a player. You're going to create it. You're going to do it. It's just the way it is. You can't get away from it. Who do you think, when we go into this 60-game season, I mean, none of us have ever seen anything remotely close to this. Who do you think it benefits the most?
I think it benefits teams that have the highest the largest stockpile of pitching. Young pitchers with big arms who, you know, I mean, first time you see them, you're only going to get really, you're not going to see some of these young guys coming in out of the bullpen for two innings. Yeah, you may get two at bats the entire season off them. And that's obviously an advantage to pitchers. I think the teams that are hoping to get the biggest jump out of this are teams like Miami, San Diego, teams that, you know, haven't been very good. Maybe Toronto. And you look at them and you say, all right, if we can really get hot for 25, 30 games, a couple of our young players, young hitters, man, I've been looking at the White Sox too. I mean, you know, if you're looking at guys like Robert and Mazzara, maybe pitchers haven't seen much of them. One time around the league, they could do a lot of damage. And what it does is, it doesn't show that, wow, you know, you're a team that's a legitimate contender. But people may watch them, see them, say, hey, you know, this is going to be worth watching. We're ahead of schedule. Don Mattingly and I were talking about this yesterday. And he thinks, yeah, that's his whole – look, we can really start the reselling of this franchise in this period. We get lucky. We win 50% of our games, a little more than that. We're still in line to make the playoffs come September. It kind of changes the nature of the franchise, no matter how real it really might be. And I think that's those teams. I know San Diego is really centering on it. I think it's going to be in Toronto. In the end, I look at it like this. It's good for baseball because those teams, the owners are not going to be, they're going, oh, wow, maybe fans are getting some interest. Maybe we won't tank, you know, and that's good for the game.
Peter, I thought the one disappointing thing, there are a lot of them, but the one major disappointment in this contract negotiation with the owners and players union was the system going back because they couldn't get a resolution going back to the old playoff way, you know, with just the 10 teams. I really felt like, to the point you're making, boy, what that would have been like if Miami gets to have some playoff games again, or you get the Chicago White Sox and they get playoff games again, or Toronto, because, you know, there's been a lot of teams, you know, the same. The Cubs have been right there every year. The Dodgers have been right there. You look at Yankees, Red Sox, all these, you know, it's kind of the same, you know, Houston. And now all of a sudden, if you had that expanded playoff system, boy, there's some teams that would be throw-ins in a 60 game season that just haven't, their cities haven't experienced that in quite some time. That's the one thing that, boy, I wish, even though the commissioner had to implement the 60 games, I wish they could have got together and figured out a financial system to make it work so you could have had the expanded playoff system of 16 games.
Yeah, I really do agree with you there, Coom Coops. I think it would be good. I mean, it's almost like a crazy final 4 months where, you know, somebody who was a 15 seed could even make the final play. And again, I mean, San Diego has been a franchise, for instance, that probably needs, I mean, they've said all along they need to have a good year this year. Well, now that good year is wrapped up in 60 games, but they have so much young power pitching, and they've got some really good players like Tatis and Manny Machado and so forth. And they could be really dangerous. As a matter of fact, I've been saying to people, the Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and the Padres together have a chance to have a great pennant race, even with 160 games. But I think in the 60 games, it's really accentuated for the Padres because some of their weaknesses won't tell out. You know, it's, you know very well. I mean, the longer you play out over a season, the more chance you have to get exposed. And this kind of thing is just, you know, boom, I'm playing three games. Goodbye. Don't see you again. Go out and play, you know, the next team. It's, you know, there's no pretense to this being, you know, a legitimate, you know, 1999 or 1998 season. It is what it is. Well, we don't have anything that's normal. This plague that's hit this country has taken away all the normality in life. I live on Cape Cod. I've been over the bridge back to the mainland once since I got home on March 15th. I just 7 miles away. You know? So it's, but I am very worried that it can be carried off, just because we really seem to have no idea what to do. And we saw where the four or five Phillies guys that went and hung out together and they ended up getting ill. And it's, and again, you miss 14, it's a 14-day quarantine. I mean, that's 14 out of 60 games is a lot of time to miss. If you get two or three players who get sick at the same time and they're pretty good players, your team is ravaged.
Hey, Peter, when you talk about this baseball season, you know, for those of us that just enjoy watching the sport and you think of 160 games, as a season starts, you kind of lazily sit back and see how the baseball season develops. And then 80 games into it, they start talking about some of the storylines. So are we going to be sitting on the edge of our seat from game one just because it's such a shortened season that every game from the start is going to be a factor in the end?
Oh, I think so. I don't think there's any question. You can get really damaged with a 10-day drought where you lose 9 out of 10. That could put you out. But you can get lucky. I mean, we've all seen mediocre teams that have run off 8 to 10-game winning streaks, and that might get them into the playoffs. I think one thing that's good is I think we can watch the players and watch them perform rather than worrying what their wins above replacement is. I mean, it's just players playing rather than players being evaluated because we want to be able to quantify everything by numbers. And I don't know about you. I hear it all the time now. For not just, you know, average, there's also saying as an average baseball player, if you're in the major leagues, might thought, but you know what I'm saying. But I mean, I hear from a lot of really good players. I mean, we're not numbers, we're players, we're people. And I think there's much too much evaluation of players by numbers these days rather than understanding, you know, why somebody really is a great player and being around them in the clubhouse and what they do for teammates and what that all adds up to. And, I think we may just have a 2-month period where we go, wow, you know, I don't need to look at the box score. I want to see Mike Trout and guys like that play every day. I mean, personally, I can't wait to see Madrigal play. I saw him play a little bit on Team USA. He was one of my favorite guys. It's like watching Dustin Pedroia again. And, I think he's going to be a great player, a really good player. I think he's going to be a Bregman kind of guy. But, you know, maybe we just watch the players and have fun watching rather than worrying about whether their wars, they're worth 2.6
games. Well, you're going to see more of the heart and soul of a guy and a team. I really believe that because you don't have all this time to evaluate and put a number on everything. So every strikeout in a big situation is going to be that much more important. And every big swing of the bat and a guy hitting a double to help your team win a game is going to mean that much more. I really think, you know, the sad thing is we're not able to high-five and hug and do all those things in a dugout because you're going to see the emotion of our game a lot like football, maybe not quite to that extreme, but much more like that. The ups and downs of a game for major league players, you're going to see a lot more of that than the, you know, where it doesn't seem like some guys have a heartbeat. You're going to see it this year. And I look forward to that. I really do.
I do too. I mean, it's one of the things, not to single out one person, but one of the reasons that I just love watching Mike Trout. He guy weighs 240 pounds, and he's 3'9" or 4'0" to first base every time he hits the ball. And there's something beautiful about that. I mean, I remember once with a great scout, Gordon Lakey, who worked for Toronto, and he did the advance for them for years. And in a six-year period, he covered 90 games that Robin Yount played. Mm. The fastest he ever saw him was 3'9" to first. The slowest he ever saw him, 4'0". And he clocked every single at bat. And, you know, Robin's a great athlete. There's no question about that. But that's part of what makes Robin Yount such an undeniable Hall of Famer. And I think it probably added to his resume even more because, you know, hit the ball to the shortstop. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Marcus Semien said to me, Mike Trout going to first base, 240 pounds, two steps to the right on a hard hit ground ball. He beats my best throw, and I can really throw. And he said, as a player, and Marcus Semien has played more innings in the field than anybody in baseball the last 3 years. He said, it's just, sometimes I go, God, I can't believe he beat that. And then I go, man, am I lucky to be playing in the same field. I love that.
Cranked out two home runs against the Cubs at Wrigley Field last season in interleague play. Our final few moments here with Peter Gammons on the Score. And I know that you've talked about it and you posted it on Twitter about how a baseball lifer told you, remember, one positive test could cost one a quarter of the mm-hmm. season. What worries me is if we get to the World Series, there will be 8 double-A guys on the field. What do the current day players think about the climate that they're returning to?
You know, I really worried about that. And some of my colleagues who I really respect are more worried than I'm very concerned. But on the other hand, I think there may be peer pressure. And Mike Hazen, general manager of the Diamondbacks, said to me, you know, these guys don't get to the major leagues without wanting to win. And he said, I think there's going to be a lot of peer pressure. You know, you're just going to have to live without going out every night for 2 months. Is that tough? You get it in the playoffs? I mean, you really get to play for something? Whether this World Series will never be thought of as, being 162-game, one game for a playoff, and then, you know, three postseason series type of season. But on the other hand, you still win in a season. If it's 60 games, it still means a lot. It's a lot better than finishing sixth in a 60-game season.
Well said. Happy 4th, Peter. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us.
Okay, well, remember, it's George Steinbrenner's birthday tomorrow, so.
Very nice, the boss, my old boss. Peter, thank you for coming on with us. Always great to talk to you. I look forward to seeing you come off the island and come back to us here during the season when we can all get together.
Okay, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.